going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Good morning and welcome to Catholic Education Plus on KDK Radio. I'm Father Tom Burke, pastor of Saints Joachim and Ann Parish, which serves the community of Elizabeth, Forward, Glassport, Portview, Lincoln, and Liberty Boroughs. And this morning's program, I'm really excited to have a special guest in studio with us this morning, Bishop David Zubik. We're going to be talking about the Eucharistic revival, and nationally and at home, how we're sharing ways to deepen the love and understanding of the Eucharist, which is the true presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And before we get into our program, I want to give a big shout out to our generous sponsors, Sam and Judy Spanos and the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh. Bishop Zubik, I want to thank you for taking the time out this morning to be with us here this morning. Welcome.
Father Tom, good to be with you and with all our listeners today, especially.
Now, the rich Eucharistic events to participate in the summer, whether if we're attending the National Eucharistic Congress in July, the local Eucharistic pilgrimage processing through Pittsburgh in June, or you want to strengthen the connection with the Eucharist at home, there are many ways to grow in faith and to come and follow Jesus. Bishop, why is the time of this Eucharistic revival such a special one in our church's history?
Well, I think as everyone will acknowledge, the most intimate way in which we connect with our dear Lord is in the Eucharist. And it is imperative that all of us not lose sight of that reality in our lives in the sacrament of the Eucharist. And so beginning back in 2022, the Conference of Bishops in the United States wanted to look for a 3-year plan for people to draw closer to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And that 3-year initiative will come to a powerful and a moving movement as people from all over the country will participate in what's known as the National Eucharistic Congress. Tens of thousands of faithful will gather from all over the country, including from our own diocese, to unite as one body. And we will also have various events in our own diocese to really help people come to a deeper understanding of the Eucharist that will involve a beautiful tradition such as processions.
Now, the Eucharistic Congress, that will be held in Indianapolis, Indiana, in July. And then also we're going to be having a lot of pilgrimages around the diocese. I know Bishop Aldershot, our auxiliary bishop, has really been preparing for this, along with the local pastors and religious ed coordinators, really to focus on, obviously, the most important thing in the Catholic faith, obviously, is the Eucharist. The Eucharist is the center of our faith. Now, the church entered a time of planning and revival back in 2022. Now, initiatives are coming to fruition, that the history of making the church, and it's a response to God's invitation, calling on the Holy Spirit to really ignite a flame of fire And this summer, a powerful large movement will be taking place, and which is the National Eucharistic Congress, which and tens of thousands of people will be there. So, Bishop, what are your hopes for the convention and also for, on a local point, with these pilgrimages throughout the diocese?
I think, as I've already indicated, it's really important for us to recognize the intimate relationship that we have with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. One of the things that has drawn, I think, the need for this gathering in the summer has been the statistics that show that that more and more people are absenting themselves from coming to celebrate the Holy Mass. And all of these initiatives are a reminder to our faithful to take a look at the critical place that the Eucharist has in each of our lives. And it's my hope that all of these events, the National Eucharistic Congress, as well as the events that take place in our own diocese, will kind of, if you will, whet the appetite of our people for the beauty that is the Eucharist, both for adoration as well as for the reception of the body and blood of our dear Lord Jesus.
Absolutely. And I know this time of year, a lot of our parishes are celebrating First Holy Communion, and I just had First Holy Communion a few weeks ago at St. Joachim and Ann Parish in Elizabeth, and you were there the day after for the Sacrament of Confirmation for our high schoolers, and I always reminded the people at First Holy Communion that the Eucharist, obviously, is the center of our faith, and we never should take the Eucharist for granted. And as the parents dressed up their children in their little suits and dresses and took pictures, that really every day we should be so excited to receive that Eucharist, to never water that down and never take that Eucharist for granted. So hopefully with this revival and the convention and the pilgrimages, people can really, really open up their eyes and appreciate that. Now, on a deeper level, Pope Francis described it as a renewal, personal encounter with Jesus, with the transforming power and mercy of Jesus and the Holy Eucharist within us. And obviously, the revival starts in our own hearts. What can we do personally to encounter, to learn, love, and live Jesus with Scripture and spending some time silently in the church with adoration? What would be some words of wisdom you can give to our listeners this morning?
One of my favorite stories in sacred Scripture is the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Mm. And in reality, that story speaks about the two disciples of the Lord Jesus who don't recognize Jesus after he rose from the dead, but when they do recognize him is in the breaking of the bread. And I hope that as we experience the many activities of this initiative, that we'll come to recognize the place that Jesus has in our own lives. I think that one of the things that's so important about our relationship with the Lord is that we just don't remember him as an historical figure or one whose story is told in the Bible, but that we come to a deeper personal relationship with the Lord. And I think that's the bottom line of all that these initiatives are aiming for.
And Eucharistic adoration is such a very calming and peaceful time for a person just to sit quietly, just disconnect from the rat race of society, and to go into church or a chapel. A lot of parishes now have the 24-hour perpetual adoration. In my parish, I do it on Saturday mornings, and I hear people say, "Father Tom, thank you so much for having adoration." Do you think with all the hustle and bustle and the busyness of a person's life, when they come and just spend some quality time with the Lord, it can be 10 minutes, 5 minutes, half hour, an hour, just as long as they take that time out and be in front of that Blessed Sacrament, do you think that would be very good for a person just to enrich their faith and their life?
Absolutely so. I know that so many of our listeners have really come to appreciate the Chosen, the series The Chosen, that takes a look at Jesus' personal relationship with the apostles. And I think one of the most tender moments in that production is when Jesus is able to sit with the apostles and share his heart with them. In a very real way, whenever we come to be in the presence of Jesus in adoration, it's the same thing. In quiet, we're there to be able to listen to the many ways in which he seeks to speak to our hearts.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love The Chosen too. That's an awesome series. One final question before we'll take a break. The flame of revival begins in the heart with the true desire to seek Jesus and have a deeper intimacy that can transform people, families, communities, and our country. How can we learn to pray and worship in a deeper way, especially in these very unsettling times in our world?
Many people who are listening today may remember a beautiful little story called The Little Prince. And in that particular story, the little prince speaks to the fox and says, "It's only with the heart that one sees rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye." And what's so important about celebrating the presence of the Eucharist, whether it's in adoration or in the celebration of the Mass or receiving Holy Communion, is that Jesus in his Sacred Heart wants to touch our own hearts. And that's something that I think we need to be very much aware of, open to, and embrace as we seek to be contemporary good disciples of the Lord.
When somebody comes to Mass, Mass means Thanksgiving. They're fed and nourished with the Liturgy of the Word, and then they're fed and nourished with the Liturgy of the Eucharist. And when they come forward and the priest or the deacon or the extraordinary minister says, "The body of Christ," and the respondent says, "Amen," that means I believe. I truly believe that that's not a little wafer. It's not a little piece of bread, but that is the body of Christ, and that feeds us and nourishes us. So when somebody comes in and receives the Lord, that's very powerful. Would you agree, Bishop?
And I think that your emphasis on the word amen is so important. Mm. As you know, when I celebrate the sacrament of confirmation, I tell the students that when they come up to be confirmed, they say amen, which means, yes, I want to receive Jesus. Yes, I want to be his disciple. And that needs to be something that we just don't do as habit when we come to receive the Lord, but that we mean it from our hearts, that we do want to receive him and we do want to be his disciples today.
That's an awesome response to say, "Amen, I believe, and yes, this is something that will help me, to feed me, to nourish me, and to help especially people who are going through a lot." And I always see that when people come for Mass, that they just feel extra graces, extra blessings. And even when I go and give communion to the homebound, how very special that they feel that they're getting the Lord. Well, we have lots more to talk about. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Catholic Education Plus with Father Tom Burke here on KDK Radio. We'll be back in a moment. And welcome back to Catholic Education Plus on KDK Radio. I'm Father Tom Burke, pastor of St. Joachim and Ann Parish, and I'm really honored to have with me in studio this morning on this Sunday, May 5th, Bishop David Zubik, who is the bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh. I also want to give a shout out to my parents, Bill and Marge Burke, who are celebrating their 62nd wedding anniversary today. And I want to give a shout out to Bishop Zubik. You just celebrated your 49th anniversary of your ordination back on 1975, 2 days ago. So happy anniversary to you,
Thank
Bishop.
You very much, and appreciate the prayers.
That's great. Now, we're talking about the Eucharist revival and the Eucharistic Congress and our local pilgrimage. But first, Bishop, you have a wonderful teaching background. And what can you give some advice to our young people, the families, the schools, our youth ministries, some teaching background to share the love of Christ with the Eucharist?
Obviously, the Eucharist that we receive, that was first given to the apostles by Jesus at the Last Supper, is not meant to stop at the receiving. You know, one of the things that Jesus expected of his apostles is that they were going to take the effects of being with him so that they could spread the good news about him. And it seems to me that, you know, what is so imperative for all of us is to, first of all, recognize the importance of coming together to celebrate the Eucharist together. It was meant from the very beginning to be a community celebration, never a one-on-one celebration only. And second of all, the celebration and the reception of Jesus has to lead to action. One of the things that I used to teach my students when I was in secondary education was this particular challenge: always treat everyone you meet as if they are Jesus, and always treat everyone you meet as if you are Jesus. And that is, in fact, a challenge that we can't do by ourselves. It is one that is empowered in us by the Holy Spirit to remember exactly what the apostles did so that we can replicate it and do it in our own day. You know, we are here today as believers of the Lord Jesus because the apostles took that seriously. And I think we need to take that seriously as we pass on the faith and the good news about Jesus to the next generations that follow after us.
I love that saying, always treat people.
Well, always treat everyone as if they are Jesus, and always treat everyone as if you are Jesus.
You are Jesus. That's a really powerful encounter. Now, America will gather for the first time in more than 80 years this summer for the National Eucharistic Congress. Tens of thousands of our faithful will be one place for a historic moment, launching the nation into a year of mission, which sets our Catholics on fire to share Christ's love for the life of the world. What is the hope locally here at home here in the Pittsburgh area? How can we be a light of fire in our souls and spread it to others to grow disciples of Christ?
Over the course of these years since 2015, you know, we have taken a look at who we are as being on mission for the church alive. And that initiative is one that recalls the first Pentecost moment when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles to energize them to go out into all the streets and proclaim Jesus. And that initiative on our part is one in which we've striven to bring all the faithful of the diocese together in a closer relationship with our 60 parishes, so that what we do when we gather around the Lord's tables, the table of God's Word and the table of the Eucharist, it also becomes evident in the ways in which we reach out to others. It's so important for us to be able to recognize that we have to join hand in hand and heart to heart on our way to God's kingdom in heaven. And the reason why we have all of these special gifts from the Lord, first beginning with the Eucharist, is to help us on the road to heaven. And that's a challenge that we face with helping each other to be able to get there. That, once again, is the example that Jesus gave when he sent his apostles out two by two. So that we need to be able to see that as a very important reality in how we live our Christian lives today.
That's great. Now, Christ promised he would never leave us or forsake us, and he'd always be with us. And there's such a division today, unfortunately, in the families. But this is a way to foster what the family truly is, the microcosm of the Holy Family in our church. And this can be an important lesson for parents that they can share with their children by beginning with the fundamentals of loving one as God. How would you describe that?
So everyone who has been at a baptism will note that one of the instructions that the church gives to parents is to remind them that they're the first teachers mm-hmm. in the ways of faith. And I'm afraid that maybe some parents have forgotten that that's, in fact, the challenge that is theirs. I will always be very grateful for the love of the Lord that my parents taught me from my earliest days of recollection. I'm sure, Father Tom, mm-hmm. the same is true for your parents as you mark their anniversary. And so I think that this whole Eucharistic movement is meant to be a nudge, a reminder to parents about the importance they have of being the first teachers of the faith. And to be a good teacher means that we've got to be able to go to the source and go to the source in prayer, go to the source in terms of reading the scriptures, and going to the source by spending quiet time before the Lord, especially before the Blessed Sacrament.
As they say, a family that prays together, you stay together.
Amen.
And I really believe that too. And our world and our country today obviously is hurting. It's a critical to rekindle the living faith, and it starts definitely with the family, going to Mass, saying the prayers at home, understanding the mysteries of the Mass and the fostering love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. How can families begin to increase their fervor and perhaps learning about the saints, the angels, Eucharistic miracles? How can our families enrich it with their children?
No one of us has gotten to this place in our lives alone. We all have those people who guide us and try to give us, a sense of grounding of who we are as human beings created in the image and likeness of God. And especially as you and I find ourselves as members of the church, moving on to God's kingdom in heaven. It's important to look back on those saints, those people, women and men who were so impressive in the ways in which they let the power of God's love take root in their own lives, as well as those people on our journey today, you know, who influence our faith, to learn from them so that we can develop those virtues, those inspirations that can help other people be tickled in their hearts to want to be a good disciple of the Lord. And once again, coming to know him more deeply so that we can, in fact, live our faith more actively.
Absolutely. And we only have about a minute and a half left. So any final words of wisdom that you can give our listeners this morning or to the families that might be listening about the Eucharist?
Well, maybe if I could give everybody a blessing. I think that kind of encompasses exactly what we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. And so to all of you who are listening to our conversation here today, my prayer for you is that the Lord may so continue to fire up your souls that many other people may be attracted to God through you. My prayer is that God may so expand your mind so that you may not only come to know God better, may you be able to embrace most fully his holy will. And my prayer is that God may so expand your hearts so that your love may more and more resemble the love that is in the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the love that's in the Immaculate Heart of his mother. And may Almighty God bless you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And may dear Mother Mary continue to protect you all under the mantle of her love. Amen.
Bishop Zubik, thank you for being with us here this morning. What a really enlightening program as we celebrate the Eucharistic Congress coming up and the wonderful pilgrimages. Really good sense of hope for all of us who are listening here this morning. So thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
Thanks for the invitation. Invite me back.
You'll be back again. And we'll be back. You're listening to Catholic Education Plus with Father Tom Burke here on KDK Radio. We'll be back in a moment. This week in our Plus segment, we are featuring the Gospel of St. John. We continue from last week's Gospel passage about Jesus reminding us that he is the vine and we are the branches and that we're all connected. We're all connected with the Lord. And this week, we continue that scripture and Jesus talks about the love that bounds him with the Father and the love that should bind the disciples to him and with one another. No greater love than to give one's life for one's friend. And how appropriate, as my parents are celebrating their 62nd anniversary on this Sunday, God has shown his love for us by sending us his Son into the world that we might have life through him. And loving is the only way we can really know that God and share God's life. And the greatest love is to show by giving ourselves with service. And as Jesus gave his life for us, he gave his life for others with the healing and helping and caring for one another. So let's really focus on how we can give our love to those, especially with our family, our friends, appreciate what we have. And for those who might be struggling with relationships or love or feeling that they're all alone, know that God is right there with us in every step of the way. He never abandons us. No greater love than to give one's life for one's friend. So thank you for listening to Catholic Education Plus, and thanks to our sponsor, Sam and Judy Spanos and the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh. We'll be back in 2 weeks here on KDK Radio.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.